Welcome back. Unity, please. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand. Now, I also wanted to mention today that I just uploaded a few videos before the show, coming out doing a protest against state asset sales in New Zealand here. Now, it's the same thing that happens all over the place. World Bank, IMF, in their own documents, I believe the World Bank even had a white paper of a 111-point plan leaked about their curtailing of state ownership and the desire to privately purchase resource extractors and power generators, strategic resources, strategic assets all around the world. And here we are in New Zealand selling off our most major power generating companies who have like huge quantities of like dams and stuff all along these big New Zealand rivers. You just think about this. Fits exactly with the profile and the plan, doesn't it? And incidentally, a year before, well, probably towards the end of 2012 anyway, we get a new Reserve Bank governor. You know, similar to the position of Bernanke in the States, right? Or Greenspan, who used to work for, you guessed it, the World Bank. So what's he doing? Coming over here to orchestrate the sale? I don't know. But the point of fact is so clear, so obvious, and so odious as to suggest that scumbaggery elements have indeed taken over New Zealand, have indeed taken over the United States, have indeed taken over England and any other English speakers around the world who happen to be listening now. I can assure you, whichever country of residence you're living in, no matter what the native tongue might be, it's quite likely just in the control of scumbags, you know. And all scumbags look nice from the outside, all of them. But there's usually dirty little secrets and skeletons in the closet that each of them happen to have that you might not be aware of. This is what I'm talking about when I'm going to protest. I'm trying to get this information out. You know what everybody else is doing when they've got a megaphone? They say cut back, we say fight back. You know, when your rights are under attack, stand up, fight back. Nobody gets informed an iota about what's going on, who the orchestrators are, what elements of scumbaggery are involved. That's what I do. I think that's probably what I've done my entire life. I'm 6'4", right? So I've got to fit in wherever I can, and usually I'm big enough to fill in whatever's missing. Plenty of people come up to me and compliment me on the usage of the megaphone and talking about all these other elements, you know, the banking scumbaggery and what have you behind these asset sales that we are trying to stop. I'm not sure if it's by any means necessary. Wouldn't want anybody to get hurt over it. Because the other part of it is, how do you stop something? How do you stop a massive agenda that's been played out for decades, that is run by the very people who are supposed to protect you from those kind of practices? How do you stop it? And the answer is, for most veteran protesters and activists that I've seen who have long since given up all hope that they can stop it altogether and take the country in a new direction, the very best they say you can hope for is to delay. And by all means, delay. But again, how can we stop these things from happening? I don't know. Lots of people have suggestions. Some people say sovereignty. You know, file your right of return or whatever documentation you need to fill out in order to declare that I'm a free man. I don't have to pay your taxes. I don't have to abide by your statutes. I'm not going to hurt nobody. I'm not going to damage nobody's property. I'm not going to be a thief or anything. And I don't want anything from you. Just leave me alone. People think that that might be the solution. But, you know, in a way, that's a solution for one person. Sure, get out of the system. But I've experienced many people who have done this. Most of them are very, very, shall we say, squeezed. Pulled over for no reason, harassed for no reason, locked up for no reason, tortured, have all their assets taken off them, have their houses taken, lose their jobs, lose their office buildings, so on and so forth. So what happens to a lot of these people who go down this route? Not that the route ain't a good way to go, but you will probably lose everything and have to start all over again. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that a solution that does work for some people means that you have to lose everything? What can we do with the country, though? You know, think about this. You got all this military spending. You've got a judiciary that is obviously corrupt. And if it ain't corrupt, then it's biased. And if it ain't biased, then it's corrupt. It's one of the two. You have a executive branch that trods over anything the legislative branch wants to resist. You know, doesn't matter. New Zealand's the same thing. We have, like, what, polls saying 78% of people, 80% plus of people don't want the assets to be sold. What does the government do? It rushes it through under urgency. You know, boom, done in there. People in Congress and in the Senate say, hey, we don't want gun bans in America. So what do they say they're going to do? Rush it through under executive order. It's the same deal. What's the difference? The agenda continues. Again, how can we expose these scumbags and all their eclectic scumbaggery for all to see? If we're too afraid to talk about it, if we're too afraid to yell and scream about it. What? I look nuts because I'm upset that my country is being taken over, that goodness knows how many innocent people are going to jail every minute. How many people are being sent overseas to die so that drug-running scumbags working for the CIA can make more money? And I'm not supposed to get upset about it? Are you kidding me? How can we stop this? I mean, maybe the best we can do is just hope to delay it and find some kind of coping mechanism and just go, okay, well, you know, the world's the way it is and there's nothing I can really do about it. I'm just going to sit back and try and distract myself, watch a few movies or maybe I'll go back and I'll watch The Sopranos over again or something like that. Maybe I'll try a new form of coffee. Maybe it'll be a better idea for me to go out and get a new pair of shoes or something like that. And maybe I'll get Subway while I'm doing it. Is there infinite ways to distract yourself from the fact that everything really sucks? Yes, there is. Is it the right thing to do? Is it going to stop the things that suck from happening? I don't think so. I think the things that are scumbaggery in our society have actually figured out that people need to be endlessly distracted in pretty much every conceivable way possible in order to prevent them from taking any action that will have any real effect. That's it, isn't it? Everybody got to stop being distracted. How much time do we spend watching television? How much time do we spend playing computer games? How much time do we spend watching movies or consuming other people's content? Basically, how much time are we spent as consumers versus how much time are we spent as creators? Is that the key here? If instead of 90% of people create nothing and consume what 5% of people make, and the other 5% just basically barely get a look in, because they're either too crap or too controversial. So you got basically 95% voicelessness controlled by 5% of boisterousness. And people wonder why things aren't changing. It's because you're not getting an active diversity of opinion there. You're not getting an active diversity in reaction times. People won't react if everything's saying don't react. I don't know how other people feel about this. Like, if you've ever had a some form of authority figure, any form of authority figure who you feel is completely unjustly treating you, how many of you get the urge, but control yourself, and you don't do it, but you just get the urge to smack them upside the head and just go, "Oi, shut up. You are a pathetic, groveling, slime bag, bullying psychopath. Shut up. Get back in your little car. Have a few drinks and drive home or something. Hopefully you'll get caught in one of your own frickin' checkpoints. Won't that be a laugh? Just bugger off. Stop oppressing me. Do you see him oppressing me?" You know, you want to scream out for help, but you know that there's nobody who's going to help you. You want to abuse the guy. You want to attack him, but you know that ain't going to help you. We're getting into a point in society now where having natural reactions to bad situations is being viewed as an offense. You know, something you could be locked away for. You did what was right, therefore you get locked away. What does this disincentivize doing the right thing? I think it does. And even if somebody has success, very few other people will want to try it because it scares the heck out of them. You know, you're supposed to do something every day that scares you, really, allegedly. You know, you're not made of glass. You can take a few hits. And you're not going to live forever. So what's the point in trying to lock yourself away? Because you're not really going to preserve yourself. All you're going to do is curtail yourself. Not going to have any real experiences. You know what I mean? Stuck at home, listen to the radio, listen to some New Zealander drone on about how you're not doing enough. And surprise, surprise, you keep listening and keep not doing enough. I'm joking, of course. I don't want to insult anybody. But it's true, isn't it? Even when we think we're helping ourselves by consuming something that's sort of enlightening or whatever. Like, how many documentaries did I watch in the start of this? And, you know, like 160 in a couple of months or something like that. You know, it was just a broad brush awakening for me. And then I got straight into making my own content and then half consuming it. And now I'm pretty much fully creating content. And I'm sure there's people who are 100% consuming this and not creating any of their own. Now, it doesn't necessarily need to be content for the radio. I mean, just think about humanity. Just think about the problems that it's got and how massive they are and how multifaceted they are. It means that you could do anything at all and make a positive difference. Isn't that great? Because everything's screwed, all you have to do is do anything and you automatically make a positive difference. Okay? Because otherwise there wouldn't be that positive difference from you making that positive difference. Isn't that interesting? So, if you start a radio show, great! You're actually going to learn how to do a radio show. If you do a short film, same thing. Anything that you choose to do that you admire, that you get inspires you, that you're passionate about, anything you choose to actually get off the couch to do automatically gives you experiences. Okay? By default, you can't avoid experiences when you're actually doing something. And they're very, very valuable because you can learn huge quantities off of your experiences. If you only experience things by proxy, and this was my problem because I was thinking to myself, man, I'm only experiencing all these guests and everything that I have on the show by proxy. I don't actually know any of the information. I don't actually know where these people actually live or what kind of life they've gone through. I haven't done the research. I haven't read all those books and all those things that they have done. Therefore, I'm kind of at an odd end. Where's my experience in all of this? Listening to somebody, sure, that's fine. That's not really a real experience, though, is it? In a lot of ways, you know, got to get out there, got to do this. And sure enough, I do get out there got my megaphone broken and my microphone's broken in the same weekend. You know, tell me that isn't a disincentive to go out and do that. Hey, and I got insulted by these, by a couple of slave scum as well. Told me to go get a job. It's more experience. Because I was just thinking about this, how out of touch I had become. I had ignored what George Norrie had told me, which you got to talk to the people. Just the ordinary people. Just get out there and frickin' talk to them. Because they're the ones who really matter. The people who listen to the radio shows whose opinions actually matter. Isn't that interesting? My opinion doesn't matter. Not a whole lot. Not any more than anyone else. It just depends. How far are you willing to go to enforce your opinion and make sure that what you feel is right gets accomplished? I feel that I'm doing my part, trying to expose a little bit of scumbaggery, trying to give a little bit of airtime to people who deserve it. But how much is that reciprocated? How hard do you really have to work before you even think that you're making a difference? Ponder this over the break. We'll be right back. The call-in number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. And I don't have a guest today, so what I was going to do, actually, I finished it last night. I'll play for y'all, leave us the nomenclature, the InfoWars Paul Revere film competition video that we did. It's actually a radio play. It's not meant to really be a film. We didn't really get round to making the film because it was like wet and it was Anzac Day and all of these other kind of stuff. But anyway, I'll play it for you now. It's about 7.5 minutes. I hope you enjoy it. It gave me a few laughs anyway. All right. Here we go. So it's called A Life Half Lived. And here we go.
A Life Half Lived. A film by Mikhail Pierce and Vinnie Eastwood.
Sometime in the near future, a squad of commandos has been dispatched to a small community outside the city walls. Targeted sight. Meanwhile, in a small family home, a mother sits reading her newspaper when she hears a knock on her door.
Hi, Mum.
Oh, sweetheart, I haven't seen you for so long. Are you okay? What happened?
Oh, I failed to indicate making a right turn, just the standard pullover and workover. I'm sweet as, though. Doctors are kind of overly paranoid about this sort of head trauma stuff.
Oh, dear! Come inside, I'll make you a coffee.
Hell yes. Is it certified modifying?
What isn't these days?
Back in the bush, the commandos are also having a coffee break, stimulating themselves on toxic, cancer-causing, genetically modified corporate waste runoff of the cowardly new world order scum! I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I said I'd get back to your film. Good brew. What is this? Monsanto Macchiato freeze-dried full metal sachet, sir!
Ow!
Quietly, you moron.
What have you been up to?
Oh, just the usual.
In other news, a shocking protest was pulled off today at a Bilderberg conference in Guam.
We know who you are and what your evil plan is! You will be defeated, you scumbags!
You know, just quietly exposing scumbaggery. Life is a humble process of badgering corrupt politicians and drinking too much while worrying about getting exterminated. Confucius say.
Oh, what do you mean exterminated? I'm confused!
He said that too.
Well, who could that be?
Oh, God, what a bunch of propaganda. Hey, who was that, Mum?
Oh, it's the census.
Again?
Well, it makes for more efficient government.
More efficient at busting into your house with guns?
You're exaggerating. The government would never do something like that. The party I'm voting for is promising change.
Change for the worse? Both sides serve the same master. I think it's time you woke up.
A good place to start is Infowars.com. Here's a DVD of my favourite Alex Jones documentary. Nothing is as it appears.
Hello? Yes, this is she. Yes? But I paid that last week. 33 cents still owing and you're going to cut my power off? Now listen here, young man. Hello? Hello? That insolent moron hung up on me.
Doesn't surprise me. Guess that's just another example of the society we've allowed to be built around us. Our most basic needs are now controlled by a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. They talk about a gang problem when they are the gang problem.
Now you're sounding like a conspiracy theorist. Hello?
This is the government surveillance service. You have uttered the words conspiracy theorist in a hushed tone. Have you anything to hide?
Everything's fine, Stuart. Thanks very much for your concern.
Just outside. The commandos are now in position, preparing for attack.
It's so nice and quiet out here. It's away from the slave blocks that are next to the train tracks. Well, you gotta be freaking kidding me. Can I help you?
Sir, I am here to inform you of a violation of a council bylaw. Your access bin is facing the wrong way.
Wait, are you serious? Has there been any reported injuries or damage to private property, complaints from the public?
Well, no, sir.
Then please leave the property and face the bin the right way round on your way out.
As the Nazi trash inspector is leaving, the three commandos are sneaking into the backyard, weapons drawn. Meanwhile, inside, dinner is being prepared.
I'm very proud of you. I wish I could do that.
You don't have to do it right. You don't have to do it perfect. You just do it.
I'm just afraid of all these government people.
Don't be afraid. Just laugh more. It's a good way to deal with fear. A life lived in fear is a life half lived. Confucius say.
Indeed he does. That must be your father.
Home already? Phone police, get down on the ground! Down on the ground! You got a permit for that turnip? Is it certified modified?
Sir, we have a situation! This one is a gardener!
Copy that. Proceed, Corporal.
I'm booking you for food code violation under Article 357-44, Section 22. 11-9-11, and you have 3 days to comply.
Oh, am I complying? You mean rip up my vegetable garden? Who do you think you are? Barging into my house, guns drawn like you're in Baghdad? You're a disgrace to the uniform of the country! And for what? A couple of turnips? What's so dangerous?
Like, woo! Stop waving that thing around! Drop it! Drop it! Put the vegetable down on the ground, ma'am, and nobody will be hurt.
Get out of my house, or I will notify the authorities!
We are the authorities. Corporal, confiscate the contraband.
Acknowledged!
They pull out hazardous disposal bags, put on gloves and surgical masks, and pick up the vegetables, trying to hold them at arm's length and dump them into the hazardous waste bag. The corporal gets some tomato juice squirted on him.
Sir, yes, sir! Ah! I got someone on me!
We gotta get him to decontamination.
There's no time.
It's a
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that. It's a weird thing because I don't really go to InfoWars very often anymore. And my mate just said they're doing this film competition, so I thought, you know, why not? It's a chance to give people a few laughs, an excuse to get something creative done. I don't think it's going to win any prizes for sure, but. It's a good exercise, you know. We did all the Foley work and getting the sounds and everything done for that radio play there. And I did all the voices as well, which was fun because I always wanted to do the, you know, the life of Brian, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Brian's mum. that's a great character. Always wanted to do that, and I finally got my chance. All right, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, which has had some, like, intense technical difficulties. You know those kind of times where you don't know what's going on? Is it you? Is it me? It's like a relationship with the computer. Anyway, final segment. If you wish to call in, this is your final chance. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339. 8525. If you want to get on the air and discuss something, maybe you're having problems. I'm really good at helping people with their problems, apparently. A lot of people have told me so, but unfortunately, they still have lots of problems. Anyway, we're talking about scumbaggery, right? And how best to expose it. And I think, you know, everybody's got their own personal ability to expose a little bit of scumbaggery. You know, you ever called out a liar or something in a conversation or whatever and just instantly busted them? You know, that kind of thing. And there's many, many forms of exposing scumbaggery. You know, some people make comedy. Some people do radio. Some people literally do it everywhere they go. They see any scumbaggery, they point it out. And it's fair enough, isn't it? Because who wants to live in a society literally bathing in scumbaggery? It's a terrible, terrible thing. Just imagine, everywhere you look, scumbaggery. Lurking. Hiding. Sneaking. Stabbing. Clawing at you. From beneath the rug, from atop the roof with the chemtrails, and it everywhere else conceivable. You know, scumbaggery is coming at you. Be afraid, be very afraid. There's scumbaggery everywhere. You know? And I'm serious about this, by the way. And I think I've done this before on the show. I talk about just, you know, the many times, if you were paying attention, you would notice scumbaggery in your everyday life. Just think about it. It's the first thing you do when you wake up. You might look outside the window. Oh, there's a chemtrail. Let's come back around. So then you roll out of bed, which is incidentally on a mattress which is over 2 years old, which is illegal in the European Union because of the amount of terrible back support that gets lost with an old mattress. You know, getting on your shoes that are made from some sweatshop, eating your cereal that's got literally iron flaked into it, getting your coffee down you with your refined sugar. It's practically like drinking bleach. It's a toxin. Getting into your car, sucking down all the poisonous gas fumes and everything from all the other cars around you. You know, and people in Cairo, it's like smoking two packs a day because of the pollution. It's probably about like that. Smoke up, Johnny. You're getting half of it from the exhaust fumes anyway. There's scumbaggery everywhere. And now we have a caller. And let's hope they don't exude a whole lot of scumbaggery. I seriously doubt it, though. Cool. Listener, you're on the air. The call-in number, I think, 905 area code?
Yes. Hello, Vincent. How are you?
I'm somewhat famous. To whom is the first name am I talking to?
This is Ron, and I'm calling from Canada.
Ryan and, from Canada.
I'm sorry?
Did you say Ryan or Ron?
Oh, I'm Ron, R-O-N.
Oh, yeah. So, Ron from Canada, how can we help you today?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Just perfectly.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm calling from the fabulously chemtrailed capital of Canada near Hamilton, Ontario. And we haven't seen a brilliant blue sky here in months, so.
Oh, no. Seriously? Is it that often?
Yeah, it's pretty bad up here, man. They're totally geoengineering the heck out of us up here, right? Like the spring has been horrible. The birds can't nest, you know, because it's too cold. You know, they're blocking the sun out. You know, so it's just a lovely, happy spring we're having up here.
That's nice, man. You know, imagine that, a nice environment that's free of woodland creatures. You know, you'd normally hear chirping of birds and rustling of squirrels, but instead now you're
What do we need birds for, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're just rats with wings.
Exactly. Anyway, what you're talking about, getting on to what you're talking about, I actually discussed this many months ago on the air with Mark Passio, of all people. And, you know, you talk about doing YouTube stuff, films, and that sort of thing. That's great. But for people who are like me, who are older and techno-stupid, that sort of thing doesn't work so well. But, you know, all it takes is your mouth. And I find that if you can get out there and plant seeds, it's an amazing thing. Perfect example was I had a one-hour discussion with a girl behind the counter who works at an organic food market here, and I couldn't believe how switched on she was. She's a young lady, probably about 22 years old, and we were just going on about all kinds of things, the dialectic process, Edward Bernays, all this, like, great stuff. You know, get it out, talk to people, and you can use it. Some people are I find that a lot of people are very open to things like 9/11. You can get people talking about that sort of thing because a lot of people don't believe it, you know, in what happened there. But get them talking, and then if you can plant little seeds, if you can only talk to somebody for 2 minutes, shock them with something that you know that they're going to go onto the internet and look at. You know what I mean? Do whatever you can. Just put the word out. And that's kind of what I do, right?
Yeah. I mean, do anything and everything, man. Whoever is in front of you. Like, if you've got a tool in front of you and it's not the same kind of tool that somebody else has got, you can't do the same work, can you? But you got your own tools. Oh. You can do your own thing.
No, you can. And I use my gift of gab, which I think, you know, try and wake people up here and there, and that's it. But, you know, for every, you have to be able to take, you know, the little how should I put it, the little disappointments too, because you think this is funny, because I know your show is very humorous, and I actually had to laugh about it, but that same girl I talked to that day, she made my morning, you know, and I felt great. But then I went into work in the evening, and I'm sitting in the cafeteria eating my lunch, and there's some other guys sitting around, and what are they talking about? Well, they're talking about something called the Bud Light, and it's this light, okay? It has Budweiser on it, and for $150, you can get it off the internet, and you bring it home, and you put it in your room where you watch sports, and it's like a goal light, okay? So in hockey, when they're watching hockey here, which is a big sport, this connects to your computer and all the games, so whatever game you're watching, the light will go off in your room. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Right. What? See, for
every up, there is a down.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But the thing is, they didn't actually say or do anything to you to personally insult you. They were just involving themselves in something that you think is a really, really poor example of humanity by any stretch of the imagination. Like, you poor slave souls.
And there's another guy I watch at work. I mean, this guy's a poster boy, okay? I swear this guy is probably in the top 10 rated internet players of World of Warcraft over the internet or something. The guy's like, he's totally like, he sits and he eats his food and he looks at his iPod the whole time and doesn't say anything to anybody. So, you know, you got those types, and I just consider those the lost people. So, you know, I don't bother with them. But people who you can talk with, you know, just get out there and talk it. I mean, if you don't have the resources like myself.
Do you think waking people up is kind of like triage of the battlefield? You know how when on, what was it, Saving Private Ryan, how the older medic is kind of teaching the younger medic, you know, this one's not a priority, he's already gone, you know, just
categorize. Actually, you have to do that. And when I refer back to Mark Passio, who I think is absolutely brilliant, I know you've had him on your show, he has this great acronym. It's called ABLE. Okay, you have awake, so those are the people who are awake. You have the blind, who are the people that you can probably, you know, try and wake up and get to. That's the people you want to get to. Then you have the lost, which are the people I just described. And then you have enemy, which is enemy, well, you avoid the enemy, okay? So
you absolutely must avoid the enemy. There's so many of those scum out there who are just dangerous and really bad people. And the problem is you can't actually go and expose them to the public or actually try to go to war with them, because you'll lose, because you'll play by moral rules. And, you know, there's certain things that you won't do in order to mess this guy's life. You know, you try to play the clean battle. He'll fight dirty and you'll be screwed, mate, because you won't be able to defend yourself.
When it comes to the enemy, the way I look at it, it's like putting a lightweight fighter in the boxing ring with Mike Tyson. The only chance the lightweight fighter has of winning or getting around the guy is like bobbing, weaving, using your speed, you know, being around the outside and never letting him get that one punch at you, right? And that's what you gotta kind
of tire him out.
Is skirt things, you know what I mean? And that's about all you can do as far as I'm concerned with that. But, you know.
That's right. Float like a protester, sting like a taser.
That's awesome, man. You're the best, dude.
All right. We'll see you again sometime. Ron, thanks for calling in, bro, and all the other callers as well. It's been a nice day.
Okay, you take care, Vinny.
Cheers, bro. See you later. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. Bear in mind, we're listener supported, so if you can subscribe or donate, please do. See you again sometime.